This is The Allusionist, in which I, Helen Zaltzman, look for the flashing beacon of language on a foggy cliff. Today's episode contains a couple of grown-up words and mental images. Wear protective clothing. On with the show!
I don't respond to anyone, so...
You don't?
Just I look at their face and I feel nothing, so I just keep my mouth shut.
I look at your face and I feel nothing. That is a chilling indictment of the whole system. A few months ago, I was a guest on one of my favourite podcasts, YOY, hosted by Andrea Salenzi. YOY is about dating, which Andrea was doing reluctantly as she was still in pain from a breakup with her long-term boyfriend. Approaching people is tricky online as in real life, and because Andrea knows, one of my favourite things to do is to analyse the way humans communicate with words. She got me to take a look at the kind of opening lines people send to each other on dating apps to initiate contact, to try to figure out why most of them are not piquing her interest.
I feel like so much of the opening messages outside of the person sending the messages control, because it's going to depend on the time of day when I see your opening message, the mood I'm in at that moment, how horny I'm feeling, how bored I'm feeling, if I have plans this week or if I feel overloaded, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know what I want to talk about with a total stranger.
Yes, because in face-to-face interactions, it usually stems from something else. Like, you're not going in cold. There are things in your environment that you can drop into the conversation or just say something boring like, oh, cold today, isn't it? And then you look for the clues that take you somewhere more interesting. But just on the apps, you have nothing, do you? Just no context, no external circumstances. I suppose you can go in with something really eccentric to get a rise out of people. Do people have like a stock line that they drop in just so that they're starting not from a boring small talk place, they're just going in with something surreal or ridiculous?
I have so many to run by you.
Okay.
So there have become tropes of people who have Googled what's a good line, and then they've taken that line, and then I see that line so frequently that you realize it was in a BuzzFeed listicle. Here's one of them. It says, Sunday priorities, exercise, sleep, or aggressive mimosas.
How is a mimosa aggressive?
You're drinking them just really violently.
Right, well...
throwing it all over yourself.
But the aggression is all from you. It's not from the mimosa. I feel like the mimosa is a neutral or possibly even passive actor in this situation.
But wouldn't it be a more boring question without the word aggressive in there? Here's another one. It's a top performing question on the dating app Hinge.
Mm-hmm.
Better discovery, colon, Netflix or avocados?
Well, Netflix is not a discovery. It's an invention. In my life, I would say Netflix. It had a more profound effect, but also because avocados we get in Britain are never ripe, whereas Netflix is always ripe.
Yes.
Where's the tension there, really? You can like both.
Yes.
Like, it's not a dilemma, particularly.
Also, it's interesting that both refer to something kind of rich and comforting, an experience that feels kind of indulgent.
Yeah, indulgent, but not necessarily bad for you, because there's a lot of good material on Netflix and avocados are nutritional.
Pain reliever personality. Advil, Tylenol, or complaining?
Are they saying, are you more of a like a neurosuppressant or an anti-inflammatory or a complainer? Like, also, what if you complain and take a Tylenol?
Right. I really probably won't take a Tylenol without having complained.
This is the thing that I dislike when people will come up and say something like, would you rather fight 100 duck-sized horses or one horse-sized duck? Like, I don't care. What does it say about me as a person? Nothing. It doesn't reveal anything. So I think these questions ought to reveal something, because at the moment they're not really icebreakers. They're just really like, here's some ice, now here's another patch of ice.
Here's one from Ari. Puppies are ice cream. Just like the Netflix or avocado one.
Yeah. But again, I would want a more complex question. Because what are they going to say? Ice cream, because ice cream is yummy. Or puppies, because puppies are so cute. Like, who cares?
But no, but then Ari's found his person. Because that's
it's
what
a bit
Ari's looking
basic,
for.
Isn't it? I'm not insulting puppies or ice cream. Thumbs up to both. But that's... Actually, they haven't said puppies or ice cream under what circumstances. It's like, if you had to fire a cannon to destroy an enemy's armed force... and you only had puppies or ice cream, which
would
you
obviously
choose?
Choose puppies, right?
I don't know. It depends how hard the ice cream is. My grandmother used to make really hard ice cream, so it was like firing an ice brick at the enemy. So that would probably be more effective than a puppy. But then if the puppy is a pit bull or something, they could probably do some damage. So, okay, I've done a bit of a 180 on the puppies and ice cream, but with significant footnotes.
No, but this style of question, they're really hard to move on from or yes. ever entertain.
Exactly. I think when you're doing these either or questions, you've got to give somebody an obvious next step.
Mm-hmm.
And that I feel their version of puppies or ice cream didn't do, I think mine did.
Under what circumstances?
I still think that if I was using that, I would die alone. But at least it would be a diverting few minutes.
I am convinced now that it is ice cream, though. So what about this? This mm-hmm. is one of the tropes.
Yep.
You just say the person's name. You're like, Helen! And then you add an exclamation point.
So what that's doing is saying to somebody, I've opened the lines of communication, but I haven't actually communicated anything yet. So the next step is up to you.
Yeah, you're just expressing enthusiasm
yeah.
for the match.
But you're also obligating somebody to do the work that you have failed to do in actually coming up with a conversation start.
Okay, here's another trope. Let me guess. And then you guess something about the person based on their profile. Like, let me guess. You're not from Boston. Are you from LA? Or let me guess, you're a Pisces.
Mm-hmm. It sounds irritating, but also actually like quite a useful conversational prop. Because, well, it depends if they just say yes or no, but then that's kind of a dud person anyway, isn't it? If they're not yes-anding it.
Okay, here's Helen. She says she writes limericks for guys using their name and info from their pictures, but she might be trying too hard. If someone wrote me a limerick, I'd take a screenshot of their photo mm-hmm. just in case I'm found dead
yeah.
days later. That's just way too much effort.
It is way too much effort. I think also limericks are not sexy. A lot of them are sexual, but in a parodic way.
The kind listener, she sent us a screenshot of how these limericks play out. Here's an example.
There once was a young lad called Sam who traveled around Vietnam. He tried on a hat and said, "Fancy that. I'll use this to show how cultured I am."
And then Sam replied,
"I'm torn between the appreciation for your creative flair and the hurt caused by the underlying dig you've given me there."
I think it's only a sexy limerick if you insult him in the process. Okay, here's one from Josh. It is also a little rhyme.
Mm-hmm.
Roses are red, so are some wines. I'm not very good at pickup lines.
Okay, well, that's cute and self-deprecating. It's a little cheesy at the start, but I get it. Yeah, that's not bad. How would you feel about it if you got that?
I have nothing to say, though. That's the problem. As yeah. I go, obviously.
You've also got somebody who I think is trying to get the benefits of a pickup line whilst also not wanting to seem like a sleaze.
Yeah, that he learned that trick and it's worked and he's reusing that trick.
That one certainly sounds like it's not the only time it will get used. I think it's really hard to convey tone in text that is that brief. And when you're not sure of the audience, it is a very challenging thing to do. So no wonder a lot of people fail at it. It's hard to be funny written down. So kudos to people who manage it.
So then why not just do, hey, why not do one of the most common pickup or opening lines? Hey, how's it going?
I suppose because it seems a little bit unimaginative. And is that the first impression you want to make? But on the other hand, if you innovate, you might be alienating someone from the start because you've been too wacky or you've accidentally touched on something that upsets them. Or I suppose by being specific, you are narrowing down your potential matches. But by just saying, hey, how's it going? An automaton could say that. It was just like you're trying to get a kind of conversational table tennis going. So you're just serving with the opening line, aren't you? And you want that person to return the serve. And then maybe you get a bit more technique into it the next time. A few months since that chat, Andrea and I caught up again. I'd been asking people about the kind of lines they'd sent and been sent. And one friend told me that the previous day, he'd received the message, "I would drink your bathwater." He commented, "I'm not sure whether a high before it might have softened my horror at all, but it might have been nice."
That's not normal.
I think it's a bit strong, isn't it?
Yeah. My guess there is that someone's friend grabbed her or his phone and wrote that. I don't think that the actual interested person would do that. I think that has to be you are involved in a prank.
Either that or you're looking for a kind of sub-dom thing.
Oh.
And just laying it out. You would literally drink the bathwater. You want someone who is up for having their bathwater drunk. Why mess around?
The person that this person's meant to find loves having their bathwater swallowed up. So I hope they find their person.
And then a female friend received, "Oi, shithead, can I bum you?"
What? Translate.
"Oi, shithead," that's a vociferous insult. "Can I bum you" is a kind of comedic way to ask whether they could have anal sex with her. So I guess it's negging, but also taking it sexual in one line.
Wow. Man, it just, there are so many moments where you're just reminded how, you know, you're just completely out of your comfort zone in these spaces sometimes, and anyone can say anything to you.
My friend Dan says that on Grindr, he's often just sent a picture of a bottom with no chat. Andrew says, "I always try to reference something in their profile, which proves that I actually read it, and I'm interested in something other than their pics. Seems like a good guiding principle." And he says, "I'm now in a relationship with someone I met from OkCupid. In her favourite movies section, she listed A Hard Day's Night, so I asked what her second favourite Beatles movie was. And she gave the correct answer, which is Help."
Mm. See, I think that things worked out between them just because things were supposed to work out between those two. The reality is that whatever the most obvious question that a profile brings up for someone is the thing that the other person is the most sick of hearing about, you know? So, like, I have photos of my dog in my profile, and I am so sick of guys asking me what kind of dog she is. Also, I'm sick of them getting her gender wrong. It's just like...
People always assume dogs are male, don't they?
They do. So you have this thing that's like the bait you put out, and you keep attracting the same kind of fish, and then you're just going to seem like all the fish, and you might fancy yourself someone who's a different kind of a fish, but you probably aren't.
So have you experimented with removing the photos of your dog from your profile and seeing if you get different responses?
I can't do that because people have to know we're a complete package. You know, you don't get one without the other.
Okay. What about then when you're assessing someone's profile to realize what the most obvious question is, cross that out and go for the second or third most obvious question?
Yes, do that. Or just go way out of left field.
Well, one listener has supplied an example of way out of left field.
This is the best of the worst. "Hey, I'm Sam. Your profile is very interesting to me. One reason is I have a huge attraction to girls who badly need glasses or contacts to see. I always enjoy, naturally, when girls mention they need glasses or contacts in their profiles and are totally blind without them. I wear contacts myself. I have a -5.5 perception power. What's your prescription number for your glasses or contacts? Hope you message back."
That's the thing about these spaces, that if you're looking for a reason to write someone off, basically anything the person says to you can become a reason to write them off or feel weirded out by them. Because you're looking for a way out of it. And if you look at this person's profile and everything they say charms you so much, you won't be looking for a way out of it. So,
okay, but maybe length and detail is the problem here. So if you'd said cute glasses, what's your prescription? That would be okay, wouldn't it? Because it's a compliment and it's inviting them to reply, but it's only 5 words rather than a full paragraph about glasses prescriptions.
"In general, I've had the best dates when I initiated contact myself. I usually write about 2 sentences. I reference something in their profile that I like and end the message with a question that cannot be answered with a simple yes or no."
Yeah, that's brilliant.
"Some messages are a bit odd. Hey, I'm going to go to the supermarket later. Can I get you anything?" That was so strange that I actually wrote back, but nothing came of it.
Now, it seems like variants of this line are pretty common. For example, "I'm making a lasagna, want any?" And the version that is a memorable point in series 2 of Master of None. Aziz Ansari's character Dev has his stock line that he sends to any woman he matches with on dating apps. "Going to Whole Foods, want me to pick you up anything?" And now, in the real world, it is spread and spread and spread. I heard from another listener who said she'd received it.
"Last Thursday, I got a message from Matt, age 30, that just said, 'Going to Whole Foods, want me to grab you anything?' I was incredibly surprised that he would use a line from Aziz Ansari.
Given how, in the past few weeks, Aziz Ansari's sexual conduct and treatment of women on dates has been subject to considerable discussion.
So I messaged him back and said, so I'm just curious if you're cognizant that maybe using Aziz Ansari's pickup line may not really give quite the first impression you were hoping for. A few hours later, he replied back, touche, you're the first one to notice, so kudos for calling me out on it.
She's not the first to notice, she's the first to say something.
Matt replies, sure, my use of the line is to no way support him. I just find it clever. Overused, cheesy, so be it, I'm fine with it. At least I got your attention. The thing that kills me is that this is so much what men think, is that if they can just get a woman's attention, that that's enough. That, like, women's desire and actually being any sort of a good partner or a good person isn't it. And so it becomes this thing of, like, if we don't give them any attention, then they come after us in some sort of aggressive or violent way. And if we do, they think that they've won, and that's the extent for which they have to do anything, really.
Right. I love the idea of talking about consent before you even, like, show up in a room with someone. But I don't like the idea of willfully ignoring that information and just testing women to see if they'll speak up about it. That's so uncomfortable to me.
Have you noticed any difference in the back and forth since the last few months of questioning all kinds of sexual behavior and gender relationships?
No. And you would think that a guy could use this really to his advantage, right? He could put hashtag MeToo in his profile. He could say trying to be an ally to women. You could see more photos from the women's marches. You know, I feel like there's a lot of opportunities here to do that. But I also think men are just really afraid to seem like they're wearing a feminist t-shirt at times. So like they want to be seen as allies. So we trust them because we're considering having sex with them. So it's just murky. Yeah, it's really uncomfortable. And I think most guys probably are just trying to avoid it. But I would be ready to talk about it and actually could build a lot of trust between us.
But while you're not having those discussions on the apps, what are guys sending you?
Okay, this guy, Sean, just sent me a message, and it is a pizza emoji and a wedding ring emoji. What do you think of that?
He wants to marry a pizza.
I don't think I like pizza wedding ring. It's moving really fast for me.
I think we've made the case that it's very difficult to get opening lines right and very easy to get them wrong. We are quick to criticize others, but Andrea, what lines do you use yourself?
Oh, gosh, I mean, I'm usually just picking a fight. Yeah, I don't know if that hasn't always worked. Like, if I see a guy in a photo with his brother or his twin, I'll be like, is he single?
So you're negging them.
Yeah.
Classic.
Yes. Or is that your bathrobe or does it belong to the hotel? I don't know. It doesn't matter. Just say something. And if he thinks you're hot, then you're going to start some kind of conversation.
And despite our critiques of all these different kinds of approach lines,
I think one conclusion I've came to is, like, any line is better than no line. I think sometimes I get really overwhelmed by online dating and I want to make them come to me. But I feel like if I have any hint of interest in someone, I'm going to just speak up. And I kind of believe now that the thing I say probably matters less than just the fact that I started something.
Andrea Salenzi is the new host of the terrific podcast, The Longest Shortest Time, about families and those different sorts of relationships. You can find it at longestshortesttime.com. But you can still listen to the archives of Andrea's show, YOY, including the full-length version of our conversation on the episode called Puppies or Ice Cream. The Allusionist would be nothing without the attention and support of you listeners, and for that, your randomly selected word from the dictionary today is Satyagraha, noun, passive political resistance, especially as advocated by Mahatma Gandhi against British rule in India. Try using it in an email today. This episode was produced by Andrea Salenzi with Lindsay Cradwell and me, Helen Zaltzman, with Martin Austwick, who also makes the music for this show. Thanks to the listeners who shared their dating experiences with us. Do you have an opening line that works a treat for striking up conversations on the apps? Tell me about it on Facebook and Twitter. My handle is AllusionistShow. And there are a couple of previous episodes of the show called WLTM about how to present oneself when dating online or in ads. Find them, along with all other Allusionist episodes and transcripts and auxiliary material, at theallusionist.org.